Take your Bibles, go to Revelation, and we have been looking at verses where Jesus describes himself. Now, if you're there in Revelation 1, you'll notice how Jesus wants us to think about him in verses 5 through 8. Okay? Then John is brought onto the scene, and then Jesus shows himself to John in verses 13 through 16 in a form of coming judgment, which is going to be like the perfect launch pad for the book of Revelation, being the judgment that it is. So look at verses, just as a overcap, not going to go through anything, just want you to think about it. Look how Jesus wants us to think about him as we start to read the book of Revelation, verse 5. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Then verse 7 and 8 talk about him coming again, which is the climax of the whole book of Revelation, chapter 19. Then verse 8 says, "I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." There's the first introduction of Jesus when you're reading what he wants to reveal to you about him, the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? Now John comes on the scene. He's in the penal island. He's being sent there to shut him up as a political prisoner. And he comes on the scene, and then he sees Jesus for the first time in 60 years. Remember, he was there at the cross. Now he sees Jesus glorified, but everything is in view of the coming judgment, Jesus as the judgment giver. Look at verse 13. Ready? It says, "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle." Remember what we said about a judge last week? It was always symbolic. Why do judges wear robes? Because they represent God, right? It has always been viewed that those executing the law, so they would put them in robes. And then we talked about what last week? The wigs, the powder wigs. Okay, where in the world does that come from? It came from Revelation chapter 1. Watch this, and it says, verse 14, "And his head and his hairs were white, like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like undefined brass." And remember, brass and fire are all pictures of judgment in the Bible, right? And it says, "And if they burn, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters." So, verse 16 is what I want to focus on. "And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." We've looked at all of those except one phrase. "Out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword." Everything else, his son, his countenance being brighter than the sun, because he's the Son of Righteousness that comes with healing in his wings. All of these coming signs of judgment, if we're going to analyze the sharp two-edged sword, then we need to do it the same way we've analyzed all the other phrases that we've looked at up to this point. We're going to use the Bible and look up the word sword, sharp sword, and we're going to look at it because we don't try to interpret the Bible without the Bible rightly divided. Reading the Bible literally is very important to us so we can know what God actually said, all right? Nothing in Revelation, nothing, is symbolic or figurative unless the text says so. That's why the word "like" is used 26 times. It was like this. The word "as" is used 83 times. It was as this. So that's figurative. But when his hair wasn't wool. It was white like wool, like wool. Okay. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His eyes weren't on fire. Okay. His eyes were like a flame of fire. So something's happening figuratively there. And then we found out his feet are like undefined brass. They're not brass. They're like brass that's glowing red hot. Well, what's that? That means he's getting ready to stamp the wine press, the judgment. right? With fiery hot brass. Then, okay, I'm trying to give you the picture here because, and then his voice is as the sound of many waters at the end of verse 15. If you wanted to know what Jesus talking sounds like, have you ever been to Niagara Falls and heard the roar of a waterfall of millions of gallons pouring? It never stops. It's as the voice of many waters. How about this? Have you ever been out, not that you would want to, have you ever been out in a hurricane when it's blowing and the water's coming down in sheets? It's loud. You can't talk. It's his voice is as the voice of many waters. It's not watery. It's like, see, you understand he's trying to use physical things to describe a spiritual picture. But when you hit the verse 16, it says, and he had in his right hand seven stars. Well, we're told what those are in verse 20. The stars are the angels, or the pastors of the churches. When we're told he walked in the midst of the candlesticks, we're told what the candlesticks are. They're not the Old Testament menorah. They're the churches. We're told that. We don't have to. But when you read verse 16, it says, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Does it say out of his mouth was like a sharp two-edged sword? There's no figurative. There's no what John was shown by the Lord Jesus coming out of his mouth was a sharp two-edged sword. Now let's look at it and let's think about this. Okay, if you go to Psalm 55, start at Psalm 55. We'll come back to Revelation 1 in just a second. There's a reason, amen, every word in your King James Bible is pure and perfect, so you can focus on that. That's why when it's like this, and as this, and all of a sudden, it's a description that says, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, not like. I wonder why it's not like a sharp two-edged sword. Well, then that means it's a literal two-edged sword. Let's look at it. Psalm 55, watch this. Look at verse 18. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. Now stop. When you see covenant, this is going to be a prophecy of the Antichrist, who's going to make a covenant with Israel, and then in 3.5 years, break that covenant. Okay? So this David is being used of God to prophesy about a coming enemy, his enemy personally, but the enemy of Israel. The covenant is broken. Okay? He has broken his covenant. Verse 21. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. David said he was buttered up and then stabbed with words. Whoever said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, had to be doing drugs. That's one of the biggest lies that ever was. I've had things said to me that I would just really rather they would have shot me. They would have probably done less damage. So here David says his words were smooth, just like butter, but it says here, his words were as drawn swords. The lies and hateful words that the enemy spoke were pictured as swords. Okay? And I think we all understand that. We see that. Okay? The enemy cut David to the soul mentally and emotionally, causing damage. Now go to Psalm 57. Watch this. Here's another one. Verse 4. Psalm 57, verse 4. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. Words spoken can do more than just mental and emotional damage to somebody. You say, well, words can't do physical damage. If the judge in power says you're to be hung by the neck until dead and issues the sentence, those words will result in execution, right? So mental, emotional, and physical damage can come from people's words, all right? Two places in your Bible where the pain is limited is compared to a sharp sword. Just listen to these verses. Psalm 64:3, who wet their tongue like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. Proverbs 12:18 is the last verse I'll read to you. Just listen to it. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. We've got some pictures here. Take your Bible now and go to Isaiah chapter 11. And there is a prophecy in Isaiah 11 that's going to be fulfilled in Revelation 19. Isaiah chapter 11, look at verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Watch verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall, watch, smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Jesus Christ is going to smite the earth with his words. And his words are not like a rod. A rod's a stick, okay? A rod's something you beat people with, okay? He's going to smite or hit the earth with his lips, okay? That's words that come out of his mouth. And then he is going to slay or execute and kill with his, takes breath to make words, the spirit, right? What's it say there? It says, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. I've known some people that have a bad breath. This is much worse than that. I thought you'd get a kick out of that. Okay, I'm glad you're smiling. Okay, so you're listening. All right. This breath is from the Lord Jesus, and this is used to execute. People will be killed with the words that come out of his mouth, smiting and slaying. So think with me just for a second. Go to Isaiah 49. You're in Isaiah 11. Go to 49. Just to give you a precursor, Isaiah 11 is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus when he comes to reign. Okay? He's going to be executing judgment. Isaiah 49 is a picture of what God shows Isaiah, of how God has worked in Isaiah's life as a prophet that God's going to use. That's what the polished shaft you're going to read about deals with. So watch this. Isaiah 49, look at verse 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And watch this. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me and said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. This is Isaiah saying, God chose me from the womb to be a prophet, and God has set me aside. And his word, verse 2, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. So listen closely. In Isaiah 11, we read that Jesus smites the earth with an actual sword, a rod that comes out of his mouth and the breath of his lips. In Isaiah 49, Isaiah says his mouth is like a sharp sword. The words of, you say, what do you mean? The words of Jesus are the sharp sword. But when I quote the Bible, I'm not inspired of God. I've even made mistakes when I quote the book, right? And when I quote the sword, it's like the sword, but it's not the sword. Me speaking the Bible and preaching God's word is not... Wait till you hear Jesus the first time in heaven, the pure words of God, and your senses aren't hidden anymore with sin. Imagine what Brother Manny's going to feel like the first time Jesus says, welcome home. He's going to go, wow, did that smell? It tasted good. That sounded good. When Jesus speaks all of your senses, it'll be, we literally cannot fathom it. When I speak, when you quote a Bible verse, it's like a sword. But when Jesus speaks, it is the sword. Isaiah 11 and 49, okay? Let's look at this just a little bit more. Beautiful. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's why we say the Bible says, or thus saith the Lord. We're saying, what our saying is like the sword. And I know you get what I'm saying, but it's not the sword. But we want you to know what we're saying is coming from the sword. Amen. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 16. 2 Timothy, back in the New Testament there. Chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration. Because the Spirit is in all scripture. Now, if you have anything but a King James Bible, if you have an NIV, ASV, RSV, MICKEY, MOUSE, okay? If you have anything else other than a King James Bible, the people who translated your Bible don't believe that God's words are inspired or have the Spirit in them. They believe some of them do, some of them don't, but it's kind of a mix and match and kind of a hoopla. If you have a King James, that's why your King James Bible's so wonderful. Every word is pure. God's preserved every word that he gave. So all scripture is given by inspiration or inspiration or the Spirit being in the words that are being given. Okay? That's where the word inspiration means, that the Spirit of God is in them. If you need another verse on that, John, Jesus said, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you are spirit, and they are life. That book is supernatural, okay? It has the Spirit of God. God's Holy Spirit blesses the book, amen? And so all Scripture is given by inspiration. Watch this. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, okay? Ephesians chapter 6, and look at verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'm using several Bible references. If I would have asked you, what is the Spirit, what is the sword that's coming out of Jesus' mouth when he comes again, I think most would have said the Bible. But I want you to view the Bible differently tonight. The Bible is Jesus' weapon because he's the Word of God living, giving the written Word of God that he is. And watch how powerful it becomes. See, we have a tendency to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and I don't think we view the Bible powerfully, and we're not in awe at it enough. Because now go to Hebrews chapter 4 and look at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and look at verse 12. For the Word of God is quick. That means made alive to never die. So when you were saved, you were quickened. That means you were made alive to never die. The part of you that got saved was brought to life to never experience death. How could that happen? We are born of the Bible, right? It says that two times in Scripture. This is what you're born of. It's alive and will never die. And your salvation is as eternal as what you were born of. Amen? Beautiful thought. For the Word of God is quick. I'm right here, quick and powerful and sharp. Watch this. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Doesn't say it's like a two-edged sword. It says think with me, okay? Follow it through because we don't think about this. This book, God's Word, is sharper than most any sword you could ever see. As double-edged. This is sharper than any physical sword. You say, well, I know we spiritualize it when we read it, but we're going to find out real quick. God doesn't do that in the book of Revelation when it comes to this book coming out of Jesus' mouth. It's not spiritualized. We're about to see how powerful this is. This is sharper than anything man can make. See, we don't think about it that way. We think it's spiritual, and we read Revelation, we're going to find out it's going to be in the physical realm also, not just the spiritual. So, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So God's Word is sharper than all other swords. Jesus Christ is coming back to destroy his enemies, and Jesus showed John that the sword he would be using when he returns is that book. Go to Revelation chapter 19 now. Okay, follow me here. In chapter 1, Jesus shows himself to John for the first time in 60 years. Now, the sword is seen, but it's not being used. But in chapter 19, the sword is going to be seen and Jesus shows John how he's going to use it. Okay, look at verse number 11. It says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire." Isn't that chapter 1? "And on his head were many crowns." Wool is described in chapter 1. The crowns come in chapter 4 and 5. Now in chapter 19, the crowns on his head are seen. And watch this. It says, "And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him." Does everybody realize that's us? You ought to have that like circled in your Bible. Go, Yahoo. Okay. That's me right there. Amen. That's you. "The armies that followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." You know, one of the funnest messages I ever preached at a children's camp was, I was preaching over in Salisbury at a horse ranch, and the kids all got taught how to ride a horse. They said, "Pastor Nash, would you preach to the kids?" And there was about 50 kids there. I said, "Sure." And I said, "Y'all like horse riding?" They said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "You know, one day you're going to get your own." They were like, "No." I said, "Let me show you in the Bible. We're all going to get our own horse. It's going to be great." We had a ball. Amen. Watch this. Look at verse 15. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron." Remember Isaiah chapter 11, the rod that goes out of his mouth? And it says, "And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." I'm telling you, when Jesus comes again, we have a tendency to say, okay, he's going to come with a spear, a sword coming out of his mouth. That's spiritual. He's going to use the word of God to destroy the armies. This book is that powerful. He's not going to have to soup it up or modify it. Didn't he speak the worlds into existence? When you trusted him as your Savior, didn't he say, "Your sins be forgiven you"? And it literally happened, the voice of... He's going to speak the whole universe out of existence. 2 Peter chapter 3, right? They're going to... everything explodes. Judge the damned at the great white throne, and then he's going to speak everything back into existence again, right? New heaven, he's going to just say, "Let it be." Boom! And it'll happen. That's this book. Take your Bible and now go to 2 Thessalonians. Watch this. Here's another picture of his coming. There's so many pictures of it in the Bible. It says 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 6. "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." Now, you're there at the end of chapter 1. Go to chapter 2 and look at verse 7. Ready? "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." And watch verse 8. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with" what? "The spirit of his mouth." Remember Isaiah 11? The rod and the breath of his lips, he's going to slay the wicked. And how far does that blood run? Up to the horse's bridle, which is 4.5 feet. That's all done with the Spirit. All scripture is given by inspiration. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It is this book that he'll be using to slay them. The weapon used at Jesus' second coming is a sword out of his mouth. He's going to speak, and the power of his word as God Almighty is going to destroy his enemies. Then, from the valley of Megiddo, all through the millennium, let's look at one more prophecy. Ready? Go to Isaiah chapter 30. I wonder You know, in doing a little Bible study like this, my heart's thrilled because I love thinking about the second coming because of all the garbage that's going on. Amen. Jesus is going to straighten it all out. It's going to be awesome. I can't stand the chaos and all that, but sometimes I just come and I just drop my knees and I just say, Lord, it's going to be so wonderful when we're going to be behind him and we get to watch it all. He's not going to say, hey, y'all go over there and take care of that, and y'all go over there. I don't know why it's southern. Yeah, it probably won't be. I don't think it'll be like, you know, over in the Middle East, if y'all go over there and y'all go over there. I don't think it'll be that way. Okay? That was a joke. I wish you'd have heard that. All right. So anyways, we're going to watch Jesus do it all. The sharp sword, we'll be riding, thinking, man, this is just neat. We'll be watching the Lord do it all, killing all of the armies. Remember his head of vesture dipped in blood? Read Isaiah 63, we won't tonight, but it says he goes through Egypt before he lands his feet. He's going to kill all the Muslim Brotherhood. So much that it says all of his garments are going to be dripping with blood. It's going to be awesome. But what's he going to be doing? He's not going to be doing this. He's just going to be speaking, and that sword is going to be slaying this book. You're there in Isaiah. Look at verse chapter 30. Look at verse 27. Notice things like his lips, his breath, his glorious voice. Watch those phrases as we read this. Ready? Look at verse Isaiah 30, verse 27. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. Watch. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire, and his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to error. Ye shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. Watch. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hail. That's all coming from his glorious voice. That's this book. Look at the next verse, verse 31. And through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down. You ever heard somebody say, man, he got beat down? That's Bible, amen? Now, the Assyrian, I told you that's 8 times in Isaiah. So where is the Antichrist coming from? I don't know who he is. Don't claim to know who he is. But where is he coming from? Assyria, which is what? Modern day. That's why everybody says, just keep your eye on Turkey. No, I don't think it's Erdogan. He's a screwball. But I do not think he's the Antichrist. Okay? Nobody knows who that is until the rapture takes place. Then shall the wicked be the root, right? So that no, I don't believe God will let anybody know who the Antichrist is. Okay, so I don't make claims about it. However, watch Turkey, because with the word of his mouth, he's going to beat that Assyrian down. He's going to be a Muslim posing as a. It won't be the Pope, right? It won't be a white dude. Okay. It's going to be a brown dude. Okay? It's going to have to be somebody claiming Israel's roots, but not false. He's got to falsify the records. I am the Messiah. Okay? But he'll be a Syrian. Okay? Then watch this. Verse 32, and in every place where the ground staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and hearts, and in battles of shaking will he fight with it. Verse 33 is where we'll end. For Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. Watch carefully. The breath of the Lord like a stream of brimstone doth glit. I'm telling you, it's this book. It's this book that he's going to slay and beat and burn the nations with. He will speak his word. Because he is God. Amen. Now, I wonder how much we lose when we spiritualize too much. Okay? I know some of you have read that before. But we're not thinking when we read it. His lips, his breath, the words that come out of his mouth. We're not thinking Bible. Okay? We're thinking, oh, that'll be really neat to see. I hope tonight you can put it together. Can I show you one beautiful psalm that lifts up the Bible? Look at Psalm 29. Ready? Psalm 29. Psalm 29. Look at verse 1 and just watch how many times the voice of the Lord is mentioned. This is a beautiful psalm. Ready? Watch this. Psalm 29 and verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Watch. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of magic. That's talking about the Bible. Amen. That's what God speaks. Look at verse number 5. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. Watch. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. That's earthquake. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Isn't that a beautiful psalm? It's basically talking about how wonderful and powerful and majestic the Bible is when God speaks it. One day, as I preach it, it's like a sword. But one day, you're going to see this as a sharp proceed out of his mouth, and the blood is going to flow 4.5 feet deep. And I think we're all going to be saying, what a book, what a God. Amen. We're supposed to rejoice in his coming. That's what 2 Thessalonians said. It said, while you're going through this hard time, look forward, because Jesus is coming, and he's going to make it all right. I hope tonight gives you a beautiful insight. Before I pray, let me just read Revelation 1, look at verse 16. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in ink. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious, precious word. Lord, please help us as witnesses.